Thanks, Radio Sport.
Pastor Mike, good evening. Welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified on the first Saturday of the festive season, with many of you, I know, readying yourselves for your Christmas work night out tonight.
But what would I wear?
Coming up on the show, what haven't I got for you? A shock result in rugby that even surprised our very own Dave Christian. He'll be along to give you all the juicy details in the Manx Trophy. Some absolutely gripping hockey was played today in the women's indoor final. In football, Tony Meppen will be along with the latest results from the Railway Cup semi-finals. I have a special guest along from the Schoolboy Motocross Club. All of tomorrow's senior netball fixtures for you, and the cherry on top, Sam Spooner's Sports Song of the Week. Thanks very much for joining me. Good evening and welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified. It is 4 minutes past five and we're just going to dive straight into the results, starting with football. In the Premier League, we've got Moran 1, Peel 2, Ramsey 1, Ayr 3, Douglas Athletic 2, Laxey 2. In the Railway Cup semi-final sponsored by Decarb, we've got St George's 0, Rushen 4 and St Mary's 2, Corinthians 4. Moving on to JCK Division 2, and we've got Foxdale 2, Maloo 1, Douglas and District 3, Pulrose 0, Governors Athletic 2, Jims 0. In Combi 1, we've got Laxey 11, Douglas Athletic 1, St John's 3, St George's 3, and we're missing the Ayr versus Ramsey results. So if you could text that into us, 166 177, that'd be massively helpful. Thank you very much. And in Combi 2, we've got Onchan 2, Ramsey Youth Centre 2, and Braddon 4, Governors Athletic 4. Moving on to rugby, and Vagabonds A played Douglas South last night. Vagabonds 12, Douglas South 12. Today in the Manx Trophy, Douglas North 58, Southern Nomads 0. In the Manx Bowl, Castletown 28, Vagabonds Hornets 12, Emerging Nomads 55, Western Vikings 19, Ramsey B 91, Vagabonds Ladies 46. And in hockey, in the indoor finals today, in the mixed prem, Backers 4, Vikings 9. In the mixed division 1, Castletown 12, Saracens 3. In the ladies final, Valkyries 5 and Vikings 5. And we're just waiting on the score for the men's final. We'll have that for you as soon as those results come in. Going back to football now, and Tony Meppen is my guest in the studio, I'm delighted to say. How are you today, Tony?
Fine, it's going awful dark now, isn't it?
It is a bit dark. You can't even see the weather.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried, and that's why we went for a 1:15 kickoff in that St George's game. But luckily, everything was fine. No problem. Extra time wasn't needed. But it just shows you that you need to kick off that a little bit earlier just to make sure that the game is safe. You don't want to be sort of 80 minutes into the game and then abandoned or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's fine. It's good.
Good. What would you like to start with? Do you want to start with the other games in the Prem, or would you like to dive straight in with the semi-finals?
You've got to go for the semis.
Okay.
You've got to.
Be rude not to. Okay,
exactly.
Let's start with St George's Rushen. St George's 0, Rushen 4. Surprising result?
No, not really. You know, you can sort of be a little bit more open after the game is done. But I think, you know, Rushen were favourites in this slightly. But certainly in the first half, I watched the first half and at 2-0, and you just didn't see sort of St George's really getting back into it. And it went 4-0 in the end. The first one, I missed the first goal because it was within the first couple of minutes. Furrow Davies it was, and Johnny Myers looked as if he'd pushed forward, and Furrow Davies was there, take the penalty and scored. Then it was the second one, and Stevie Riding, it was into the box, and Stevie managed to hook it in to make it 2-0, and 2-0 it was at half-time. Aaron Hawley, who's been a real jewel for them of late, second-half substitute, he got one, and Stevie Riding got the second. But, you know, St George's had chances, there's no doubt about it. I thought Ben Walter down that right-hand side, give Jack Snidle a hard time. He's a good little player, and great prospects for him as he develops, not only physically but also mentally as well, because he's got a great brain on him and he's only going to get better and better. But unfortunately for St George's, it just wasn't quite there, I thought, in the centre midfield. Defensively, they looked okay, but the centre midfield, it wasn't creating enough. And St George's, when they did get the ball forward to Kieran McNulty, Rushen's defence was solid. So, you know, it's a result, I think, that most people expected. rush and get through to the final. And St George's have had plenty of days in the Railway Cup final, so they'll have to be a bit more patient maybe next year.
And then the other game of the day, St Mary's versus Corinthians. St Mary's 2, Corinthians 4. Were you expecting this to be a bit closer?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, when I spoke to Liam and Johnny last night on Football Focus about this game, I think one of the boys said it was 3-2 and it was looking that way. But I have to say, when Corinthians took the lead through Sean Doyle, Corinthians had a real good spell in the first sort of 10 minutes. But then, you know, St Mary's played well in that first half after that. And when they got their equaliser, and it was forced error, really. Chrissy Canlett was defending, and unfortunately for him, turned the ball into the back of his own net. And 1-1 it was. But then when Frank Jones got the second one, because got to remember that the goalkeeper, Adam Kinvig, got sent off. The talking point, was it a red or wasn't it? He came out of the box big time. He was a good distance out. He was travelling at speed. And Dan Simpson had beaten the centre-back. It looked as if he was going around the keeper to score. And Dan Simpson was brought down. It was outside the box. Was it a red? It was a strong enough challenge to be a red. But if it had been a booking, I wouldn't have complained, because it was one of them. It was right in the middle. Was it a booking or was it a sending off? Mm. What I liked about it, Stuart Neen, referee, who's one of the best referees on the Isle of Man, probably had made the decision himself in his head, but he went over to the linesman, Peter Greenhill, just really for an insurance policy, I think, on his decision. It was going to be a big decision, whatever way. And between the two of them, they sorted out, came back, and he red-carded him. Adam was upset about it. It's his first game for his new club. I accept that. But you've got to be so careful as a goalkeeper coming out like that. It wasn't a malicious tackle, but it was enough to get the red. Now, Carl Clark went in, and Carl is a brilliant defender. But tell you what, he did really well in that second half in goal. Pulled off two or three really good saves. And I mean, TV jobs, you know, full sprawled, spreading out and stopping it going in. And when Frank Jones got the leading goal for St Mary's, it was a corner, and Frank was there. And Frank looked well up front today, you know, against alongside Stevie Priestnell. And 2-1, I just thought, this is going to be a real test for Corinthians. And I thought, and I'm sorry, boys, if I upset you, I thought Corinthians went in the shell a little bit and maybe sulked a little bit, because suddenly they're 2-1 down. The young lads, it was a test for them. And then when Sean Doyle got the second one, great delivery, and Sean was there to head it in, 2-2, and then Corinthians just went on then. And it was Dan Simpson who got the third. Good goal by him. And then Steve Whitley, a good cross in by Dan Simpson. Doyle missed it, and Steve Whitley was there, just controlled it and smashed it in. So 4-2. But I have to say, the second half performance and effort by St Mary's was 100%, and give them credit, because when they went down to 10, it could have been so, so different. But actually, they looked the better of the two teams. And congratulations to Corinthians getting through to the final. They won it, 3 years ago against St George's. So they've got the chance now to play against a really top side in Russian. And it's going to make for a great final on Boxing Day.
Perfect. So let's look at the other games in the Premier League. So we've got Moran 1, Peel 2.
Yeah, and this was going to be a close battle. And Moran took the lead, but it was a Peel boy that got the goal. I believe Luke Doherty's put his hands up and accepted it was an own goal. So Moran leading, and you just think, wow, he is what, the seventh game on a bounce that they could be winning on this one. But Lee Gale, great to see him back. One of my favourite players in Manx football. I believe he scored from the penalty spot for the first. And then the second one, he just finished it off as Lee Gale does. So 3 points to Peel. Massive, massive 3 points. When you look at the league table, they're still sort of in that danger zone, but it does lift them above Douglas Royal, Douglas High School Old Boys, and Ramsey. So they're looking in a far better position now in ninth place, and they'll be hoping to pick up some more points and climb up that table.
Then we've got Ramsey 1, Ayr 3, and Morecambe Kelly left a voice message with the results and all the details, and I do apologise, I missed his call because I just happened to be on the phone to one of our interviewees. So I do apologise, Mr Kelly, but thank you for sending in the results.
Yeah, thank you, Malcolm. He works ever so hard down there. He's probably doing the bar at the moment. But today it was Ayr United who were leading at half-time. They were 1-0 up. Not too sure who got the first goal, but Sean Kelly got two. And Danny Hawk got one, so well done there, Danny. But it was Ashley Kelly who got the goal for Ramsey in the second half. So they had a good go. Ayr are a good side. Air will be enjoying it in Ramsey Town tonight, I'm pretty certain. Ramsey boys, lick your wounds and get on with it. You're having a good season. You're hopefully going to stay in the Premier League and you build on it for next season. So good battle. It's always a great night out in Ramsey after a local derby, and enjoy the night.
Good result for Douglas Athletic. They drew with Laxey 2 apiece.
Well, it was, and it's a big result for them because that's a bonus ball. That's a bonus point for them. And they need to get a few more of those. But with Athletic now on 15 points, it keeps them above Peel. But Laxey will be disappointed with that one because Laxey had a good team out today. Jordan Cooper got one. I'm not too sure he got the second. So if you can text us through, please, 166177. And also, Craig, if you're listening, we could do with the Douglas Athletic scorers today. Two goals. So somewhere along the line, if someone can get in touch with us, and we'll give the scorers a mention.
Moving on to JCK Division 2, and we've got Foxdale 2, Maloo 1.
Yeah, big game for Foxdale, and it was 2-0, I think, to Foxdale at half-time. Jay Chatwood with 2 goals, so well done, Jay. For Maloo, it was Darren Flanagan, their new signing. What probably didn't help their cause was towards the end, Dean Kinley, who only signed for Maloo this week, got a red card as well, so he's going to be missing for whatever, 2-3 games, whatever the offence was. And for Foxdale, it was a big, big win for them. It sort of gets them closer to the teams at the top, Uni Mills, Ramsey Youth Centre, Onken. It'll put them on, 31 points now, so they'll move above Colby. Bit more pressure on Onken, who are on 32. Ramsey Youth Centre on 34. And Uni Mills, well and truly ahead, 8 points clear of Ramsey Youth Centre on 42.
Then we have Douglas and District 3, Paul Rose 0.
Good battle. Daniel Kinley, got 2. Luke Callister got 1. It was 2-0 at half time. So Paul Rose made a good game of it, playing a lot better. But the important thing for D&D is 3 points, because when you look at the league table, they're not in a place where they like to be. They're 10th, but 3 points on there puts them on 16. And actually, I think their Governors Athletic won against Jim, so
yeah,
they're still 3 points behind Governors Athletic.
Yeah, but Governors Athletic beat Jim's 2-0, and Jim's were 1 point ahead of them in the table before today.
Yeah, they were, and that's a great result for Tony Sewell's team, and I'm sure Facebook is live with Tony. He loves it on Facebook. Sam Liver got one, Dan Thurwell got one, and a penalty saved by Michael Oates for Governors Athletic. Well done, Parrot.
Moving on to Combi 1, and we've got Laxey 11, Douglas Athletic 1.
Yeah, big game big that score for Laxey, and that's maybe why Sam Spooner's not around, because Sam playing in goal today for Douglas Athletic, I heard.
Really?
We're banter-proof, Sam. We won't wind you up, so you can come to the studio if you find it in yourself.
He's never coming back.
But today there's a standout player for Laxey's Combi. Rob McAuliffe, he got 6. Mm. Sam Griesley got 2. Jeremy Lovett got a goal. Will Burkhurst and Tommy Callow in the combination today got a goal there. Haven't got Athletic sole goal scorer, but I'm pretty certain Sam did everything he could to keep the ball out of the net. But today they hit a crack team in Laxey and scoring 11 goals.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Air 3, Ramsey 1.
And it was that's all I've got. It was a good result for Air United, but I haven't got the goal scorer. So if you can text us through, please, 166177.
And we've also got St John's 3, St George's 3.
Great result, this one. I think that's a brilliant performance by St John's. Sort of bit of a patched-up team. St George's, very good young players there coming through. But awesome display. I work with Liam. He got a hat-trick. He got a hat-trick. So well done, Liam. And I might just buy you a bacon bap on Monday.
Very nice. Hold him to that. Yeah. And also thank you to the person who texted in the Air versus Ramsey score. I appreciate that. And in Combi 2, we've got Onken 2, Ramsey Youth Centre 2.
Doesn't really help either club in this one, because when you look at the Combination 2 title, you've got Uni Mills top, Onken second, Maloo third, Ramsey Youth Centre fourth. So Youthy and Onken in this game wanted really maximum points. And OK, it makes Onken a point closer, but it's not going to help them. But Tom Lancaster, the star today for Onken, he got 2. And for Ramsey Youth Centre, it was Martin. We haven't got their goal scorers, but a good note on this one was the performance by Martin Ferris. The referee had a brilliant game. So congratulations to him. And if you could, please, text us through 166177.
And then finally in Combi 2, a good day for Braddon. They drew with Governors Athletic 4-all.
Yeah, it was. But I think Braddon will look at it as points dropped. It was 2-2 at half-time. We haven't got Governor's goal scorers, but for Braddon it was Josh Brew and Sean Goldsmith who scored in the first half. Luke Hegarty got a goal, and I've got Stephen Holsall got one from the penalty spot, but I've also got in brackets here Adam Fair, who was only four goal scorers. I've got five names, so don't know what Adam's done, but certainly Steve Holsall's penalty will live in his memory because Steve's getting a little bit older, but can still score goals. So well done, Steve.
Do you want to drop his age in?
No. 40.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Tony. Tony Mepham. I will be seeing you later on.
You certainly will. The first round's on you.
Okay.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
And we're moving on to hockey now, but not with Sam Spooner today, who I'm sure will be resting up after his sterling football performance. Instead, we've got the lovely Kim Carney. Thank you so much for coming up. How are you?
That's all right. A bit of a rush, but...
I know, you've done really well to get here.
Don't feel like I felt seeing daylight all day, like when you've been stuck in the hall all day.
I'm not surprised.
You come out to the nice dock.
Well, you've got these lovely fluorescent lights. So.
That's right.
So let's talk about the indoor finals today. I'm missing the score for Valkyries and Backers.
Yeah, so that was the one that I was literally trying to drive
sprinting
you, like
from.
Leave and go. Yeah. So that was 8-3 to Backers in the end.
8-3 to Backers. Yeah. Okay, so let's start in the mix. So we have Backers 4, Vikings 9.
Yeah, and Backers got off to a really good start. They were actually 3-0 up in the first quarter, and Vikings like didn't really get out of the starting gates. And then it took, you know, into that second quarter to just start going, and they started working the ball around, and then the goals started to just come, and it was actually a real good team performance on Vikings, really well thought out. But the notable absence for Backers in the mixed was their captain Jamie Brown didn't play because he's been a bit injured, oppos with his work.
Looking over at Tony Murphy,
so he's trying to hold himself for the men's game, and he did have a little run out in the men's game. He couldn't help himself, could he? But
What's the context here? Sorry.
Boyfriend.
Sorry.
I was waiting to see if she's going to pick him up.
Sorry, didn't mean for you to just announce
that. No, they did miss him today. You know, and the thing is, you can have a squad of 10 players for the indoors. You've got four outfield, one in goals. So you've still got four outfield players that you need to try and rotate. And it's quite hard every 10 minutes to try and rotate them as well. And especially in the mixed, it's two lads and two girls at any one time. And it's just sort of getting that nice rotation sort of to match each player that's coming on the other side as well, because you sort of have little matchups on the pitch.
Yeah.
So keeping that going.
It's difficult, that. It's really is. Sort of thinking on your feet and
especially
constantly
when you've
being
got a lad
able to
marking
adapt.
You. I'm like, oh, thanks for this. I'll take this.
Moving on to Mixed Division 1, we've got Castletown 12, Saracens 3.
Again, and even in this game, Saracens went ahead in the first quarter, but Town were definitely the superior team in the end. I think their experience showed through from Hannah Lee, Stephen Ronan and Zoe Shimin putting some good goals away. I think that team's probably played together a little bit more than the Saracens team, but this improvement from Saracens this year has been tremendous. They've got such young players and their will to just fight for the ball. We played the ladies last Monday in the last pool game, and from the start of the season to the now, like, incredible difference. And I'd just like to big them up for that, because like they just fought the whole time.
Yeah,
whole game, and their heads didn't go down, and you know they were a few goals down and ended up 12-3. But the thing is, I think they took a lot away from that, and
it's always good. It's always really disheartening when you see a team who has so much potential just see their heads go down and their heads drop. You know, it's always admirable when you just keep fighting to the very last whistle.
Yeah, and they did, and that's what they should be taking away from today. They put up a real good battle, and there's always going to be goals in indoor.
Yeah.
No matter what. I think as a goalkeeper, it's quite hard. I'm like, there's going to be goals. Don't worry about letting them in. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
You quite like, it's so fast and furious that it's just gonna happen. So, yeah.
We're going to move on to the men's final first. So Valkyries 3, Backers 8, which is the one you just rushed here from.
Yes, I know. Valkyries were pushing, to be honest. In the first half, The first quarter. I'm trying to read these notes quickly. It was 2-1, and it was like sort of still all up in the air and all to play for. But then Backers got another two before half time, which made it 4-1. And then again in the third quarter, it was even. And in the fourth quarter, Backers just nipped another two away, and it just pulled away from Valkyries. Really.
It sounds like the game can change so quickly indoors,
so dramatically. Yeah. I'll talk about that when we get onto our game.
Yes. Yeah. And I purposely saved it for last because it sounds like the game of the day. Valkyries 5, Vikings 5. You went 0-1 to Vikings. Vikings went ahead. Then it was 1-1. Then it was 4-1 to Valkyries. And then Vikings won on flicks.
Valkyries
won on flicks. Sorry, I've got flicks written down
it's
on the wrong side.
It's 5-all in the end.
Yes.
So, in the fourth quarter, it was 4-1 to us. So that just shows you how crazy and how quickly
it can change.
Do you know what? Like, they took their chances when they had their chances today, Valkyries. You know, we probably didn't at some point, but it was such a good game to be part of. Mm. I came off the pitch not feeling deflated and not feeling defeated, because it was such a great game. And those are the types of games you want week in, week out. You want that competitiveness.
That excitement.
You want that shoulder-to-shoulder sort of determination and drive for the ball. And, you know, that's only going to increase the standard of hockey in the Isle of Man, which I think that's what we're aiming for. And the standard on show today was absolutely tremendous. Over all four matches, I think a lot of, you know, we had loads of spectators down there. I think, you know, it'll increase participation for next year. And I think that's one of the key things, because there's a couple of teams that could actually get two teams out, but they're just on that cusp of not having quite enough players who want to commit every week. But it isn't every week on a Monday night, but it's a lot of time to give up because you've then got training on a midweek night as well. So, but it's really good for your core skills. And, like, you know, now a lot of the children are practicing 3D skills rather than core skills, and I think, you know, sometimes it's good to go back to basics, but then there's the speed, the added extra off the speed in there. So going into that last quarter, I'm like, we can still overturn this.
Yeah.
But to get back to 5-5 was tremendous effort from Vikings.
Yeah.
And Valkyries, yeah, 1-0 on penalty, and all credit to them, took the penalty really well, the one that they did score. And, you know, fair play.
Yeah. But like you say, you have to take your hat off to Vikings coming back from 4-1 to 5-5. Yeah. You know, that shows a lot of mental strength.
Great tenacity on show. And I think it'll lead off onto the game next week, because we've got Valkyries in the last split game before
Exciting.
Christmas. So that should be a good one to finish
good
on, I think.
Good always. And just quickly, how was the general day? Because I was going to ask about spectators, and you mentioned, were there quite a lot of people down?
It was great, you know, because we put them on so that we had the Prem first, then Div 1, because sometimes, you know, people, I'm only going to come down for the top match. And we did it that way because we wanted people to see the standard still so high in Div 1. And, you know, we wanted everyone to just in, out. You know, if you wanted to go off and nip and do something, that's fine. You could then come back. And the same with your families. And there was kids were all down there. It was such a nice day out. And I think it was really good to do it on a Saturday rather than, because normally the finals are on a Monday night. No one stays down for the last game because it's 9 till 10 and it's just like, and it goes a bit flat and a bit lull. But today there was people shouting, screaming. Like, the atmosphere was great. And
that's exactly what you want.
I think we've definitely made the right decision to have it on a Saturday and have everyone down there as a little unit.
It sounds like you did an excellent job putting it on, like more of those. So well done and well played as well.
Thank you so
much for coming up, and I'm sorry you had to rush so quickly.
No, it's okay. It's no bother.
Moving on now to rugby, and we've got Dave Christian on the line. And a shock result last night in the Manx Trophy between Vagabonds A and Douglas South that even surprised him. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm not bad. I've settled down and warmed up a little bit as well. It's very chilly out there today.
Yes, I know. Yeah, you do very well to even answer the phone. My fingers would be broken off, I think. So let's start in the Manx Trophy last night. We have Vagabonds A 12, Douglas South 12.
Yeah, an unlikely result indeed. It's very rare to find a draw in rugby union, particularly in grassroots domestic rugby like we're playing here. And last night was no surprise, or no surprise that it was a surprise. The conditions were poor. I think that's probably the best way to begin. We've got rain lashing down. We've got strong wind coming in. And it was very uncomfortable for the players. I was talking to a couple of the Douglas lads this afternoon. They said at half time they had to go into the changing rooms and get their hands and fingers under the taps just to try and get a little bit of warmth back into them, because with the conditions being as poor as they are and the cold hands as well, it meant there was a lot of drop balls. So it was a horrible game to play in, but both sides made the best of it. 12-7 it was at half time. Douglas in the lead, tries from Owen Carvin and Sam Games, plus a conversion from Will Kane. For Vagabonds, Mark Oldfield on target again. He scored last week, so it's two on the bounce for Mark. And Lucas Simmons got the conversion. That made it a five-point game. In the second half, Douglas did have their chances, but the only score of the second half came at the other end. That was courtesy of Vagabonds' Joe Lowe at the back of a very powerful Vagabonds scrummage. That result meant that Douglas North could win if they beat Southern Nomads today with a bonus point, and, well, they did just that. Nomads did have quite a lot of ball in both halves, but it just didn't come right for them on the day. And personally, I think the scoreline's a little bit flattering for Douglas, because Nomads did have a lot of possession and territory. However, Douglas always did have that extra gear to select when they needed it. They led 22-0 at halftime. Tries from Neil Killier, Callum Dentith, who ran in two, and Craig Martin, and there was one conversion from Jack Shimmin. In the second half, Kyle Martin went in. His twin brother Craig obviously scored in the first half. Then Craig went in for his second. Number eight Neil Killier went in for his second of the game. And there were also tries from Carl Evans and Tom Coleman. Jack Shimmin weighing in with conversions again, which pushed it up to a 58-0 win. As I said, I think that's a little bit flattering for Douglas. Southern Nomads played a lot better than that scoreline suggested, and really they should have had points. They were very disappointing when they got into what we call the red zone in rugby, inside the opposition 22. And I've no idea how many times they visited the Douglas 22, but they came away scoreless every time. Just that last pass not going to hand, or conceding a penalty at the breakdown. And it would be a frustrating afternoon for the coaching team of Nomads. I'm not saying that I'm not going to single out anybody for playing badly. It was a collective effort as a team. They had some incisive breaks. Django Kinley looked very lively in the centres. He made a couple of breaks well in behind the Douglas defensive line. But they never quite got them finished, and Douglas showed at the other end that when they had the time and space, they were just so clinical. And 58-0, like I said, it's not a fair reflection on Nomad's efforts, but you can't deny that Douglas always had that overdrive to select whenever they needed it.
Moving on now to the Manx Bowl today, and we had Castletown 28, Vagabonds Hornets 12.
Yes, this competition getting very, very tight indeed. 28-12, I suspected, because I had a little rumours on the grapevine overnight, that Vagabonds weren't at full strength today, and Castletown turned them over. They were in a position to turn them over in the earlier match. They just took some knocks to key players and didn't have any subs. Today, though, Castletown managed to keep it all intact. They led 14-0 at half-time. Tries from Jim Emmett and Kunal Patel, both of which Emmett converted. In the second half, Peter Crowe crossed twice for Castletown. Emmett converted both, and they were 28-0 up. Vagas struck twice in the last 5 minutes with scores from Ben Swindlehurst and Mitch Wells, but wasn't quite enough for them. And that result means things are very interesting at the top end of the Manx Bowl competition. Emerging Nomads are now 5 points clear. I'll talk about them in a moment. They've got one game remaining, 35 points. Vagabonds have two games remaining, and they're on 30 points. So there's a potential there for them to tie, but that's going to be ruined next week, because Vagabonds Hornets play Emerging Nomads. It'll be Emerging's last game. If they win it, they're champions. If they don't win it, Vagabonds Hornets could snatch it. And Vagabonds Hornets have two games left to play. There's a rearranged fixture yet to come against Ramsey. And Ramsey are on 28 points, and again, I'll talk about them shortly, but 28 points still puts them in with a shout. If they can beat Vagabonds in that rearranged fixture and beat Castletown next week, they could be in with a chance of taking that title themselves with six wins on the bounce. Today, though, emerging nomads on top from start to finish at Ballykillia against Western Vikings. Two tries apiece for Arthur Torrin, Tom Davies and Jake Wormsley. One apiece for skipper Mike Quayle, Steve McHugh, the big second row, Kieran Madrell and Patrick Convig converting five of those. No scorer information from Western Vikings, so I can't mention them. At the Mirror Park, Ramsey made it 6 out of 6. 6 out of 6 from their last 6 matches at least. 91-49, they beat Vagabonds Ladies in the tag variation of the game. The Richmond brothers, Jake and Dan, led the way for Ramsey with 8 tries between them, 5 for Jake and 3 for Dan. Wing Ben Pickett also ran in a hat-trick, as did Connor Goodall, and there was a single try for Dara Pilkington, which I think is his first try for the club, and I'm sure he's dealing with these consequences of that right now. Messrs Goodall, Richmond and Richmond also kicked a conversion each. And I just switch media for Vagabonds Ladies. Tries for them today. Alana Pritchard, Lauren Ellison with 2 each. Sammy McDonald with 2. Joe McCabe was in there with a conversion. And they pick up a losing bonus. Well, a try bonus point today because they've scored four tries. And that means in terms of bonus points, Vagabonds Ladies have scored their try bonus point in every game. So they're getting plenty of ball. They're getting across the whitewash. But I think it's that biological factor of the men running straight and fast is a little bit of a difficulty for them in terms of being competitive. However, their average losing margin, it's less than 30 points a game, so they're not too bad and they're not too far away.
That's good. That is good to hear. Thank you very much, Dave Christian. Go get warmed up.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
Moving on to netball now, and it may be cold outside, but things are hotting up in the Newfield Senior Netball League, particularly in the Premier Division. Tomorrow sees the next round of matches played at both the NSC and Bemerhague. So in the Prem, we've got Route 1 Connections versus Ballasalla Alpha at 10 o'clock at the NSC. Then we have Manx Gems Rubies versus Thompson Travel 1 at 10 o'clock at Bemerhague. Simcox Blue take on Ballasalla Bravo at 11 o'clock at Bemerhague. Simcox Red go against Marbury Misfits A at midday at the NSC. And Tomb Raiders take on Simcox Gold Eagle at midday, in Bemerhague. So the matches to look out for in the Premier Division are Route 1 Connections versus Ballasalla Alpha. After a pretty tough season last year, Route 1 are sat second in the league table now, with Ballasalla Alpha right behind them in third. And it's sure to be an exciting game of centres, with Route 1's Sarah Watterson facing up with Ballasalla's Jane Ryder Clegg. Both have speed and the legs to run and just keep running for the full 50 minutes. And both teams rarely make many errors, so this will be a really interesting game, potentially one for the shooters. So basically, whoever's shooting circle is best on form. The match also of the day to watch in the Prem is the other Ballasalla game, actually. Ballasalla Bravo versus Simcox Blue. Similar to their A team, Ballasalla Bravo are just behind Simcox Blue in the league table. Simcox are fifth and Ballasalla are sixth. Both teams are incredibly strong in the shooting circle, with the likes of Ailish Brideson for Simcox and Ashley Hall for Balla. So this one should be a very evenly matched game in the attacking circles. Simcox have played together for longer, so that will probably work in their favour. But with the likes of Ashley Cowan, who's back from injury in defence, a win certainly won't come easily for Simcox. So those are the ones that I would pick out to get your popcorn out for. In Division 1, Long and Humphrey Tomb Raiders go against Simcox Green Eagles. That's at 9 at the NSC. Manx Gems Sapphires take on Thompson Travel 2 at 10 o'clock at Bemerhague. Route 1 Turbos go against Ballasalla Chartley at 11 at the NSC. Thompson Travel 3 go against Young Farmers A at 11 o'clock at Bemerhague. And Marbury Misfits B take on Castletown Spaniards midday at Bemerhague. So the match to watch in this division is between Marbury and Spaniards. Spaniards are second in the league table, Marbury in third. Spaniards, always a very resilient team, very unflappable, strong. But Marbury do have the ability to win so long as they keep their heads in the game and don't psych themselves out if they go ahead. In Division 2, there's not really any close games here. We've got Route 1 Vaults versus Ramsey Black at 9 o'clock at the NSC. Got Ballasalla Delta versus Manx Gems Emeralds 9 o'clock at Bemerhague. Castletown Celts take on Simcox Silver Eagles at 9 o'clock at Bemerhague. Young Farmers B versus Simcox White 10 o'clock at the NSC. And Balasala El Echo, take on Ramsey Red at 11 o'clock at the NSC. So most of these matchups are fairly spaced out in the league table, but hopefully I'll be proven wrong with some shock results. So best of luck to all those playing tomorrow. And if you do know anyone playing, do go down and support if you can. It makes a world of difference having people cheering you on from the sidelines. A notice for the runners among you, the Island Cross Country League is on tomorrow. That's Sunday the 6th of December. It's being held at Crossegs Farm in Ramsey. Registration is from 11:45 until 12:45, with the action getting underway at 1 p.m. And there's been a change to the start time for the under 17 girls and boys and the under 20s junior ladies. Their race now starts at 1:45 instead of 2 o'clock. Thank you very much to Steve Kelly from the Northern Athletic Club for sending that in. Remember, if you do need to get the word out about anything to do with your sport, if you want to give a competition or an event or a tournament a plug, do get in touch. It'd be great to hear from you. If you email newsroom@manxradio.com, it'd be lovely to help you out in any way I can. And though he's not here this week, I'm going to leave you with Sam Spooner's sports song of the week. Today's choice is the late, great Johnny Cash with A Boy Named Sue. So have a lovely weekend. Well done to everyone who played today. Good luck to everyone playing tomorrow. And I will catch you next week. Here's Johnny Cash.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3 and he didn't leave much. Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now I don't blame him cause he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew. At an old saloon on a street of mud, there at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had, and I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold, and I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? How you gonna die? Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile and he said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name, and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah, he said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me, and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in the eye, cause I'm the that named you Sue. Yeah, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him
Bill or George, anything but Sue. I still ain't listening.